Blog Talk Radio.
Blessing to you, to encourage you, to empower you,
to hold on, to keep going, to keep being obedient, because obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. So again, I want to welcome you on tonight. I am glad that you are here with me. We are going to get into some things on tonight. Again, I promise I won't keep you long. Tonight will be a short bring forth, if it be the will of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Not my will, but God's will be done. Amen. I don't know about you all, but it's been, I've been saying this a lot lately. And if you've been following me, you've been hearing me. And I don't have no qualms about saying, hey, it's been rough. The journey has been rough. The roads have been rocky. And yet, by God's amazing grace, I haven't quit. By God's amazing grace, I haven't given up. By God's amazing grace, I am here to yet see another day. And I tell you, I know it. We all know it. We've all been through trials and tribulations and didn't think we were going to make them through. And God always shows up. And it's not like it should be a surprise to us, because he's done it before and he keeps doing it again. He keeps showing up. Matter of fact, he's not even showing up. He never left. But somehow we've left in our belief, we left in our faith, we left in our dreams and our visions and ideas. We allowed the cares of this world to choke us out, where we no longer feel that we're worthy, where we no longer feel like we could hold on. And he's never left us nor forsaken us, according to the word of God. So he's there. But it's just, it's at those moments when we are at our worst, those moments when we are at despair, that God's light just begins to shine bright. And the scales, should I say the scales of worry and doubt, are removed from our eyes, and we can see his presence. We can see his light. Amen. And so, again, I want to share that it has been a rough journey. And yet I got such a testimony on tonight that I want to share with you all. Because, and the reason I'm sharing my testimony, I might have explained last week, I'm going to explain it again, because it's not a haughty, it's not a pride, it's a very humbling experience when we go through something and God brings us through. I don't share it to boast or brag, but I share it to show you God's glory. I share it because I know that it's the words of my testimony that is part of the overcoming. And so I share it because if it happened for me, if God did it for me, God could do it for you too, because he's no respecter of person. It doesn't matter, because I chose to put culture in front of my first initial. Because somebody chose to put pastor, or being led to put pastor, become a pastor or evangelist or apostle or a bishop or a prophetess or a prophet, you know, minister, regardless of those titles, God is no respecter of person. And what he's done for me, he could do for you. What he's done for the bishop, he could do for you. What he's done for the apostle, he could do for you. What he's done for the pastor, he could do for you. Again, he's no respecter of person. Amen. And so tonight, what I want to talk about as I give my testimony, I'm going to read first, and then I'm going to read a couple of things. I am going to be in the Bible tonight. I recommend that you get a pen and paper. That may be wise for you to just kind of take some notes to follow through with where I'm going, because I do have a couple of scriptures that I want to go to tonight. And again, I'm not going to keep you long on tonight at all. I don't think that it's going to take an hour for me to give what God has for you on tonight. Amen. And so I'm going to plant the seed. I'm going to say what I need to say. And I believe that that even as I'm planting, the seed will be watered, and I believe that God will cause the increase. I believe that the word that's going forth tonight, if you are on this call, again, you are predestined. It's a divine appointment, and I believe it's going to bless you. And I believe that as you hear the words, according to the Holy Spirit of God, that these words will just take root in you, and I believe that it's going to produce good fruit. Amen. So I want to start off with, let me start off with 2 Corinthians. I'm going to start off with 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to start off with chapter 9, I'm going to read verses 6 through 15. I'm going to also be skipping around a little bit here. Let me just see if I want to start there. Bear with me, because I want to bring it to you exactly how the Lord would have you to receive it. Let me start with 1 Samuel. We're going to start with the, we're going to go from the old to the new. We're going to go from the left to the right. We know God operates from the right to the left, but we're going to go to the, from the left to the right on tonight. So we're going to start with 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 22 through 25. Now remember, if you received today, if you received the poster, the flyer on tonight, remember it says, what have you decided in your heart to give? And it's based on 2 Corinthians. But I want to start in Samuel, because really what this is about is obedience. This is about obedience. So 1 Samuel, we're going to go from 1 Samuel, then I'm going to skip to 2 Corinthians, and then I'm going to get into what I have, the bottom line of what I have for you on tonight. And I pray that it will bless you. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 22 through 25. Then Samuel said, do you think all God wants are sacrifices? I'm going to say this. I'm going to be saying this with passion. I'm going to be saying this with enthusiasm. I'm going to be saying it because I don't want you to hear the letter, but I want you to hear the spirit of what God is saying through his word, through Samuel on tonight, his prophet Samuel. Again, then Samuel said, do you think all God wants are sacrifices? Empty rituals just for show. He wants you to listen to him. Plain listening is the thing. Not staging a lavish religious production, not doing what God tells you, is far worse than fooling around in the occult. Getting self-important around God is far worse than making deals with your dead ancestors. Ooh, Jesus. Because you said no to God's commands, he says no to your kingship. Saul gave in and confessed, I've sinned. I've trampled roughshod over God's word and your instructions. I cared more about pleasing the people. I let them tell me what to do. Oh, Absalom, me of my sins. Take my hand and lead me to the altar so I can worship God. Now I'm reading out of the Message Bible. And that was Samuel, First Samuel, chapter 15, verses 22 through 25. Paraphrase, he's saying, is that all God wants for us, from us? It's sacrifices. You get, see, getting up going to church every Sunday is a sacrifice. Getting up going to Bible study on Wednesdays is a sacrifice. Getting up going to special classes and small groups on Tuesdays is a sacrifice. Those are sacrifices. And we do it ritually. We get up every Sunday and we go to church. You know, and sometimes we have the attitude, if we tell the truth, like we believe that that's our reasonable service, is to get up and go to church. Okay, you know, Lord, God's been good to me. At least I could do is go spend 2 hours in church on Sunday. It's a sacrifice. And here Samuel is telling Saul, you think that's all God wants from us? Is rituals, traditions, sacrifices? Is that all he wants from us? So really what he's wanting is obedience. Obedience. Now we're going to move down to 2 Corinthians, and then we're going to get more into 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to read verses 6 through 15. So just follow along with me. You're going to get it here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. Remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind, what you will give, that will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done, as one psalmist puts it. He throws caution to the winds, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out. This most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with us. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God's wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. Carrying out this social relief work involves far more than helping meet the bare needs of poor Christians. It also produces abundant and bountiful thanksgiving to God. This relief offering is a pride to live at your very best, showing your gratitude to God by being openly obedient to the plan, meaning of the message of Christ. You show your gratitude through your generous offerings to your needy brothers and sisters and really towards everyone. Meanwhile, moved by the extravagance of God in your life, they'll respond by praying for you in passionate intercession for whatever you need. Thank God, this gift, his gift, no language can praise it enough. As I read through Samuel and then I turned around and read through 2 Corinthians, one thing that has been consistent in what I'm learning is that obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. God is looking for our obedience. He is looking for our obedience to him that always, see, obedience to God always draws down the hand of God. This is where our blessings come from. Our blessings come from obedience. Not our sacrifices, but because of our obedience. And so now I'm going to share a testimony with you, knowing this, that obedience is better than sacrifice. If we sacrifice to him, then we have put him in our debt. If we sacrifice for God, he owes us something. So, again, obedience. So, I'm going to share. And I'm going to be very transparent. I'm just going to put my business out there, but I'm putting my business out there because I believe that this is what God has chose for me to do, because it's not just my business. Because I belong to the Lord, it's God's business too. Amen. So, I mean, many of you have been following me, and you know my story. You know that I made some decisions in the last year that led me to be obedient to God, that moved me into Houston, selling my property in California and quitting my job of 16 years and moving to Houston and buying a home and starting a nonprofit and trying to get my book going, and all was going well, and I knew that God had sent me here. I had confirmation and verification and qualification. I knew it was God. I had no doubt that it was God. But how many of us know that sometimes we move in what we know that God has told us to do, but when it starts to not look like what we thought it was supposed to look like, we begin to get nervous. Yeah, maybe you might not want to tell the truth, but I'm going to tell my truth. After about a year, August this year, made a year that I've been here in Houston, it went very quickly. About 14 months in, I started looking, and guess what? There was no income. Coach D was having no income coming in, and she wasn't having income coming in, and her last paycheck was November the 30th of last year, and you know, that was no big deal, because you don't really get scared when you still got a source. And my source, you know, God should have been my source, but my source then became unemployment. Oh, I got unemployment coming in, no big deal. Not that I sat around waiting. I put in resumes here, resumes there, but I'm still not feeling anything because I have my unemployment coming in. So it's a false sense of security. See, because when we don't have our security and God is not our source, everything else is a false sense. Why? Because everything else could fail. Everything else could stop. Everything else could complete, but God doesn't. He's forever. And so anyway, you know, I seen the, you know, pay was gone, and now I had my unemployment for, you know, for a couple of months, and I seen that coming in, so I'm still feeling pretty safe and secure. And then all of a sudden that stopped in July. I realize it now, because July is where things begin to shift for me, because things begin to get scary. Things begin to get unnerving, you know. Things begin to come, as they say, as the young people say, it got real. Things got real. Because now I'm thinking, I'm looking at this beautiful home that I believe God blessed me with, and I'm in a beautiful neighborhood, and things is going great, and my ministry is going fine, and all is going great, and all of a sudden the water stopped pouring. And not only did the water stop pouring, but now I'm having conversations with my mentors, and they really wasn't faith conversations. The conversations weren't faith conversations. They were conversations that would be of worried parents. It wasn't the faith conversation of the men and women of God, but it became worried parents. Oh my gosh, what are you doing? Have you made sure you did your profit and loss? Have you made sure you did this? Do you know what your cash flow is? Oh, do you know? So now I'm beginning to even worry more than what I'm worrying, because now these conversations didn't seem to be conversations of encouragement and empowerment. It became conversations of, are you sure you made the right decision? And so with these conversations on top of what I could see with my five senses, I'm starting to now get worried. I'm starting to now fear. I'm starting to now think, oh, Lord, did I miss you? Did I not hear you? So what, I'm going to speed this up a little bit, because this is going to bless somebody. Oh, Jesus. And I hope I can contain myself. But I'm worrying. I'm starting to worry, and stress is going in. No, you know what they say, Christians don't stress. Oh, no, this was a Christian that was stressing. I was stressing. And I could see more and more. I could see the stress. I could see the weight gain become on. I could see me starting to try to go back to what I know, familiar spirit, because now I'm trying to make it happen in my own power, my own mind. So I'm now beginning to finagle. And we know, old school, if you've been on here and you've been living more than 30 years, you know what finagle means. Finagle, you might have heard people say, I'm robbing Peter to pay Paul. But now I'm beginning to finagle Denise. Not Coach D, but Denise is going back to what she know. So now I'm going in survival mode. I'm going in hustle mode. I'm trying to figure out how to finagle this thing. No longer am I trusting and believing in God. And I'm keeping it real. Even though I'm preaching it and I'm teaching it, but I found a moment in time where I wasn't living it. God had no longer become, at least according to me, God had no longer become my source. Because now I'm trying to do something in my own might, and I'm thinking, okay, I got bills. I got a senior that's wanting to go to college, $91,000. He wants to go to college. And what parent don't want to make that happen for their child? What parent don't want to see their child be greater than they are? So now I got all this compiling, stacking on top of me, and I'm beginning to worry, and I'm losing my strength, and I'm no longer, my prayer life is becoming weak, but yet I'm still trying to be obedient, because I'm still trying to get on these calls on Thursdays. I'm still trying to get on these calls on Tuesdays. I'm still just trying to bring forth the word. No matter what I'm going through, I'm still trying to bring forth the word. And I used to judge people. You know, I used to judge people and say, well, you know what, if they ain't doing this and they ain't accomplished this and they ain't doing this, they need to sit down. But God wouldn't let me sit down, and I wanted to sit down, but he would not let me sit down, and he kept saying, no, you're going to keep going. You're going to keep going, and you're going to keep saying what I tell you to say, but I'm feeling some kind of way because the enemy is on the other side, and he's saying, you can't keep telling them people that. You can't keep giving them these words of encouragement. You can't keep empowering them. You can't keep talking the word to them. Why? Because you're not living it. You don't believe it. So how are you going to keep telling them to do it? But I'm keep telling y'all to do it. I'm keep saying, you can, you will, you can, you will. All the time I'm dying on the inside. All the time I'm dying on the inside. Woo, Jesus. But obedient. And I can remember 3 weeks ago, today, I was sitting in church,
And the pastor was teaching on finances. He was teaching. I'm a tither. Don't be confused. I'm a tither. But what can you tithe when you ain't getting nothing? What can you, you know, you think, what can I tithe when I ain't getting nothing? But I still was giving. I ain't getting nothing to tithe off of, but I was still, I didn't feel good walking in the church and not giving. Because that's who I was. That's what I conditioned myself. That's what I had made up in my mind to do. I had made up in my mind that this is what I'm going to do. So even though I didn't have an income coming in, I would give, you know, my tradition was to make sure I just go in and give $25. But this one day, I'm sitting in church, and I heard God say, give $500. And you know how you do. And I'm like, ooh, Lord, you sure? And he didn't say nothing else. And so I'm starting to try to talk myself out of it. Denise, don't go through no guilt trip. You don't have any income coming in. You don't have to tie it off of nothing because you have nothing to tie it off of, not monetarily. And whatever money you got, this got to last you. It's sitting there. It's been sitting there, and it's got to get you through. It's got to get you through to the next. But then I'm thinking about the scripture in 2 Corinthians when he said to make up in your mind, in your heart, when you come into the courts of praise and the gates of thanksgiving, when you come into his sanctuary, you're supposed to already know in your heart what you're going to give. And so now I'm saying, okay, Denise, wait a minute. So I'm listening to the Holy Spirit telling me to give this $500, but yet the flesh is saying, wait a minute, you ain't got no income coming in. How you going to pay your bills? And the last thing I heard was, you don't have to give it. Be obedient or don't be obedient. And when I heard that, my choice was to be obedient. And I gave the $500. And if anybody know anything about modern day church, they don't. Most people don't write checks no more. We give our giving online. So once you hit that button, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. And I hit the button, gave the $500, and didn't think nothing of it. But I would be lying to you if I said days later I didn't think about that. I would be lying to you if I would have said days later I didn't try to think of a way I could reach out to the church and tell them I made a mistake. That was supposed to be $50, not $500. I would be not honest with you if I did not say that I didn't worry at times about that money. But at the same time, when those thoughts came up, I rebuked them because I just had to make up my mind that I gave what I gave. It is what I gave, and that's it, period. Ain't nothing else I could do about it. I'm not going to give no more thought to it. I'm not going to let the enemy beat me up about it. But it didn't stop my stressing. It didn't stop my worrying. It didn't stop me wondering when was the next. But I went on and continued on. And I still gave money when I walked into the church after that. I'm telling you this to tell you this. I'm not telling you that you could pay God to bless you. I'm not telling you that you think when you're doing something monetarily for God, God don't need our money. He really doesn't need our money because it's not our money, no way. It's his money. But when I tell you that when we are obedient and when we do what God tells us to do, and it's not going to always be comfortable. It's not going to always be comfortable. But when we do what God tells us to do, there's blessings. There are blessings that come along with that. It says, it is our obedience to God that always draws down his hand of blessings upon us than our sacrifice. So it's our obedience that moves God into blessing us. It's not our sacrifices. Sometimes we have to be obedient to sacrifice. What do I mean? What do you mean, Coach D? Thursdays, for example, there's 1,000 things I could be doing on Thursday evening. There's 1,000 things I could be doing on Tuesday evening. But it's my obedience to that sacrifice. I'm being obedient to that sacrifice. It's not just merely a sacrifice. I'm being obedient to that sacrifice. To come in and come in the studio, to take my time to study, to take my time to get into the presence of the Lord, to take my time to die of my flesh, to die of me, my and I, to die so that God's spirit could rise up on the inside of me and bring forth a rhema word. Do you know when he brings forth those rhema words, they're not just for you. They're more for me than they are for you. And as he blesses me with the rhema word that he brings forth, it blesses the people of God. So, in conclusion to this testimony of the $500, I had no clue in me being obedient. I'm going to keep it real. When I was obedient, that I had no clue what God was going to do with that. I just knew that I was obedient. And I wanted to be obedient, even though I was scared, even though fear tried to, even though the enemy tried to consume me in sin, because fear is sin. So even though he tried to consume me in sin, I knew I had been obedient. And because of that obedience, God manifested 100-fold. When I tell you I got a check, when I tell you I got a check yesterday for $5,000 from nowhere. I got a check yesterday. And I'm not saying this to tell my business. I'm saying this to tell you how good God is. Hallelujah. If somebody ain't shouting. Because when he say that he'll make a way out of no way, when he will make some things happen, that he honors our obedience, when I'm telling you as a living testimony, as a living witness, that you can't go in with the mindset of thinking, I'm going to do this for you, God, because I'm expecting you to do this for me. I never went in with that mindset. I went in with, though I'm struggling, though I don't have an income, when the Holy Spirit said, do, I did. And even though it came with struggle, even though it came with question, the end result was I was obedient. I was obedient, and because I was obedient, it drawed down the hand of God, and the blessings overtook me. You know, Deuteronomy, I say this scripture often, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14, it talks about the blessings. It talks about the blessings of God, and I'm going to pull that up because I'm going to go in there and read it. If you want to follow with me, you can. If you just want to write down the scripture, this is one of my favorite scriptures. That I often speak on, that I often go to, and it talks about blessings for obedience. That's what that book is called. It's called Blessings for Obedience, and it's Deuteronomy 28. I'm gonna read it. I'm gonna take a moment to read it because I want you to hear it. It's so true. And it's Deuteronomy chapter 28, and it's verses 1 through 14. If you know anything about Deuteronomy 28, what you do know is this, is that the first 14 chapters of Deuteronomy 28 talks about the blessings of God. And then the last, Deuteronomy chapter 28 goes all the way to, it has 68 verses. Check that out. Listen. Sometimes you think people just talking, but listen. Deuteronomy 28 has 68 verses in it. 68 verses. That's a long chapter. That's a long chapter. I would consider it a long chapter. It has 68 verses. And verses 1 through 14 is the blessing. Verses 15 all the way to verse 68 is the curses for disobedience. If you don't do nothing else from tonight's message, read the whole book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. Just read all 68 verses because you want to understand what are the blessings for obedience. And you also want to understand the curses because in this day and age, the perversion, the watered down of the word of God is being contaminated, it's being polluted, it's being perverted. And we're not getting sound doctrine. We're not getting sound doctrine because we're being taught about prosperity. We're being taught about positive thinking, and positive thinking brings the universe into format. And we're getting taught all this craziness, but what we ain't getting taught is that there are some consequences to your disobedience. And see, so we are being led to believe, and we're being brainwashed and hypnotized to believe that all we have to do is think positive and these blessings will overtake us, that the universe is going to pour out the blessings. But, honey, I'm going to tell you something. The universe was built by God, my God, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. The universe was created by him. And I'm telling you, he's not blessing disobedience. And even when you think people that's disobedient, out of order, and they don't believe, you think you see them with blessings because they got big cars and they got big houses and they got big money. I'm telling you something right now. That's not being blessed. Because see, blessed is when you know where you're going to spend eternity. Blessed is when you know who you serve. Blessed is when you understand that we are in a warfare and when you understand that the battle has already been won. Blessed is when you know that a Savior was sent down on this earth in the natural and died and was buried and rose again. Blessed is when you know what the final end of the end is. Blessed is when we get to a point in life. See, we hear this thing about faith, and we know that it's without faith it's impossible to please God. But I'm going to tell you something. Blessed is when you know by faith that whatever decision God make, you have faith that whatever decision God make is the right decision. And I've been dealing with that. I've been dealing with this faith journey. I've been dealing with lacking in the faith. I've been dealing with, because see, if I'm not careful, I'll conform to what I've been taught. I'll conform to what the world sees as blessed, what the world sees as faith. See, the world want to see that because I say faith for healing, because I say faith for finances, because I say faith for this, that it's just supposed to manifest. But God told me on the other day, and I don't think that I missed it, he told me, blessed is she who understands that faith in God simply means that whatever decision God makes is the right decision. That's faith. I have faith enough to trust his way, his thought, his time. That's faith. And that's what it means by without faith, it's impossible to please God. We can't please God if we don't trust him, that we don't trust whatever he going to do, he going to do, whatever that is. That's faith. That's pleasing him. Think about having a mate. You with a mate. You think your mate is pleased? Because you could beg your mate for what you want, and you say, I trust him. I have faith in him because I know if I want a ring, I'm going to get a ring, or I know if I want me a new house, I'm going to get a new house. I'm talking to you ladies. That's not faith. Faith is I trust him enough. I have enough faith in him that whatever it is, it is. Faith, man, is in your spouse. That I trust her enough that what it is, it is. Because I know that they're going to give whatever, you know that they're going to give from the heart, from the abundance. And I believe that for my life. And God had to show me that. And even when that check came, some of y'all know I might talk and I may go straight over your head. But when that check came, it was like I don't know if you ever heard this term, it was a bow yow. It was like he just threw it on the table. Like, now, how you like me now? What you think now? You've been running around here in fear, in sin, out of faith because you're in fear, and I've been faithful. I've never left you nor forsake you. I never not kept my word. I never not did what I said I would do. I never not did what my word said. I watched over my word to perform it. and you should know that. We should know that. And some of us walk around acting like we know it, and we know how to say all the true stuff, but we're not living it. And it's going to have some other time. I would not doubt of another situation or circumstance come in my life, and the flesh want to make me say, oh, you know what? First thing, fear. But we got to just get to a point where we know that we know that we know. And sometimes you don't really know that you know until you go through some stuff. And when you start going through some stuff and God manifests, and then it's just the confirmation you need. Sometimes he's going to allow us to go through some stuff that we know. See, nobody can tell me that God ain't God right now. Nobody can tell me that he's not. Because and it's not that this is the first time I've experienced his glory, the first time I've experienced his blessings. This is not the first time. But sometimes we could get so comfortable. You know, I heard somebody say that if you never experience rain, then you can't appreciate the sun. And that's the truth. When when life get good and life is just flowing and the blessings is overflowing, we could get lax. We could get lax a days ago and we could forget. And somehow if we're not careful, we'll start thinking it's because of what we did, because I got up in the morning, because I was seeking a job, because I was doing this, because I was doing that, because I worked hard, because I said my prayers. We'll get caught up and think it's because of us, when all the time it was never because of us in the first place. It was because of God. And then he got to remind us. So we got to go through a little bit of stuff so he can remind us that it's not by our power and might, but by his spirit. It's him. It's his power. It's his strength in our weakness. Amen? So I'm going to do Deuteronomy really quickly for you here. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm going out of the you know what? I'm going to go out of NIV on this one. 28, chapter 1 through 14, and then I'm going to wrap this up. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations on the earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the cows of your herds, and the lambs of your flock. Your baskets and your kneading through will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that your enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction and flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hands to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people, as he promised you on oath. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him, then all the people on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouses of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. Ooh, the Lord will make you in the head. He will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top and never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left. Follow other gods and serving them. No following other gods and no serving them. He's telling us that we would be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, blessed coming in and going out. He said that we hearken diligently and obey his commands. And that's what he's saying. That's the word of God. That was the word of God in Deuteronomy. And even as it is in Deuteronomy, it's in today. He's saying, will you be obedient? Will you hearken diligently to his voice? When he say go, will you go? When he say stay, will you stay? When he say move, will you move? He's saying, will you be obedient to do what he's called you to do? Father, we thank you on tonight. We thank you for the word that you brought forth. We thank you for the reality, the revelation, the rhema of the word, Father God. We thank you that you brought forth the word, not by the letter, but by your spirit, Father. I pray that each and every person that's listening in on tonight, Father God, that you will bless them, Father God, exceedingly, abundantly, above all they could think or ask. Father God, I call forth right now a spirit of obedience, Father. We repent for our disobedience, Father God. We repent for not trusting you, Father God. We repent for operating in the spirit of fear, Father God. And, Lord, we just ask for your forgiveness. So, Father God, if you could restore unto us, Father God, and help us to remember, Father God, that you are waiting for our obedience, Father God, that you will withhold no good thing as we follow you, Lord. So I just say thank you, Father. I thank you for the testimonies that will go forth on this week for those who have heard you, Father, and are willing to follow. Father God, I thank you for the blessings. I thank you for meeting the needs of your people this week, Father God. I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the abundance, Father. I thank you for the abundance. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to thank each and every one of you for listening in tonight to this episode of Processing the Pain. I pray that the word has blessed you and that it will bless you and that it will inspire you, not only just inspire you, that it will just cause you to step out, that it has renewed your faith, that it's encouraged you and empowered you, that when God says go, go, when he says do, do, to be obedient. To be obedient, because obedience is better than sacrifice. He's looking for our obedience. He's not looking for our sacrifices and rituals and all these other things that we've been taught, as pleasing to him, but he's looking for obedience. So you could sacrifice all day long. You could be in a ministry. You could be in a certain ministry. Let's say you're in an area church that you're serving. That's a good thing. See, I want to get involved in some stuff. I have a tendency because of who I am. I'm a giver. And when people are talking about their dreams and visions, I want their dreams and visions to come to pass. You know, that's one of the reasons I started God. I believe that God told me to start this platform with MCD Network, because I want people's visions to come to pass. I want their dreams to come to pass. And so I'm able to give people a platform to do that. But when people come to me and they tell me about their vision and their dream and what they're trying to do and what they believe God has for them to do, I have a tendency to get drawn in, because I want to roll up my sleeve and make it happen for them. I want it to happen with them. I want to get involved. And so God is showing me in this season that, see, that's sacrifice, because it's a good thing, and all good things ain't God things. All good things are not God things. And yes, it's a sacrifice. I'm rolling up, you might be rolling up your sleeve to get involved in something, because it's a good work. It's a good work. But every good work ain't a God work, meaning that it may not be what God told you to do. See, because you're making sacrifices to do all these good things. But God is saying, is that what I told you to do? Is that what I told you to do? Obedience is better than sacrifice. So what I'm finding is things that God didn't tell me to do, I know. Why? Because they begin to crumble before me. They fail. They don't go forward. The blessing is not on them. They don't move forward. And so if we're not careful, we'll see that as somebody hurting our feelings or stepping on our toes or somebody did something wrong to us, when in reality it was God telling you, I didn't tell you to do that. That's not the dream, vision, or idea I gave you. So you work your dream, vision, and idea that I gave you and be obedient to what I gave you. I don't need you to sacrifice to what I gave somebody else. Ooh, Jesus. I don't need you to sacrifice to what I gave somebody else. I need you to be obedient to what I gave you. Now, that's not to say that he won't never give you instructions to go help. It's not to say that he will never give you instructions to go sow seed. It's not to say that he will never give you instructions to collaborate with or be involved with something. But what it's saying is that, did God tell you, or are you just thinking this is a good work and I want to be a part of it? Are you just wanting to make the sacrifice and not be obedient? So when relationships begin to collapse, when God began to remove situations, circumstances, and people out of your life, then you need to ask yourself, you know, instead of getting angry, instead of getting hurt feelings, ask yourself, is that what God told you to do? Are you in obedience? Are you in good works, or are you in God? Is it a God thing, or is it just good works? Are you obedient, or are you sacrificing? Amen. Well, again, I want to thank each and every one of you. I pray that the word has blessed you on tonight. I want to thank you for tuning in to this episode of Processing the Pain. Know that you are truly loved and appreciated. We pray that you will continue to follow us every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Time, and 10 p.m. Eastern Time. We also have some programs on Tuesdays. We're doing a shift in the schedule. The only thing, when you give people a platform, people got to be obedient. They got to be obedient to follow the process of the platform. And sometimes that don't happen, unfortunately. Some people don't have the same commitment, commitment. So Tuesday nights may fluctuate from night to night as far as who's first, who's second. And I might have to change that on a monthly basis. But we do know he say, she said, we'll continue to go forth. We're looking at if we're going to add another day. That'll be up to the Lord. And then we also know that on first Tuesdays we have Walking in Wellness with Vanessa Scott. And we are we'll see if there's going to be some more episodes. But again, we thank you. Know that you are loved and appreciated. And we pray that you have a blessed week, a blessed weekend, and we will see you next week. Good night. If I